Tonight, in 1 Timothy, chapter 3, 14 through 16, and then 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 11, Paul says, in verse number 14, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto you shortly." This is Paul writing to Timothy, and what we have, communication of the doctrine. He said, "These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." Then in verse 15a it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself." That's the conduct in the doctrine. Are you still with me? Then, "how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." Now we have the church in the doctrine. Is that all right? Then we have house of God, and it's the hell of truth. Pretty good, darling. Then he says, in verse number 16, he says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." That's Christ in the doctrine. Now, watch verse 1 of chapter 4. Notice the first word in there. It says, "Now." See that? What we did is brought you all the way, kind of made the connection. In chapter 3, he talks about the qualification of elders and deacons there. And he says, make sure you communicate that. And then he went on to talk about the communication, the conduct, the church, the house of God, the hell of truth. Then he talked about Christ. Then he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils." All right.
Keep your battery run down.
All right. Well, here we go. We got it somewhere around here. Battery ran down here. I guess I'm pretty hard on batteries, I guess. But anyway, we're okay. We're okay. Don't anybody get excited. Everything's gonna work out. All right, there we go. Now is it working now, Garland?
I don't know.
Well, we'll soon find out, right? All right, is that it? Oh, it's working. Yeah. What in the world did we do before these kind of things? Well, let's go a little further here. Our subject is doctrine of devils. There it is right there. Where I got the idea from is in the text. He said, "Now the Spirit speaks and expresses that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." In Acts 2 and verse 42, the Bible says, "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine," singular, "fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer." 2 John 9, it says, "Whosoever transgresseth and divided not in the doctrine," singular, "of Christ has not God." Then, and I think it's John 17, talking about the doctrine of God. We're talking about the same body of truth. And Jude said something that's interesting. In Jude 3, Jude said, "Beloved," are you still with me? Well, y'all smile a little bit. It don't make it so hard on me. I got to look at all of you at one time. Y'all just got one face to look at. Jude said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should watch it earnestly, contend for the faith which was once delivered." One time. One time. Brethren, God is not speaking to anybody in this world today when it comes to salvation and worship with the one gospel system. The gospel of Jesus Christ, Brother Kenny, is God's last message to mankind. Revelation 14:6, having the everlasting gospel to preach to all tongues of men on the face of the earth. Now, please listen to this. Do you know, you have to know the doctrine first, before you can know the doctrines of devils. Now, I was told that with the federal government, and FBI, whoever, when they learn how, the way they learn how to detect counterfeit money, they never show them any counterfeit money. All they show them is the real deal. They know the real deal so well, if anything doesn't match up to it, it is false. We need to know the doctrine of Christ so well that when we hear something that's a little offshoot, that's not right. Is that good? Now, with that in mind, let's look at this. The Holy Spirit speaks clearly. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. 2 Samuel 23:2. Now, how does the Holy Spirit speak to the church today? Watch it. Just in case you don't have your Bibles, lick your fingers and go to Revelation chapter 2 and 3 there. We don't have to read it, but it says this. He says, "The Spirit saith unto the churches." Well, what do you mean the Spirit said to the churches? John wrote, right? Revelation 1, John wrote to the seven churches of Asia, and John said, the Spirit says to the churches. How does the Holy Spirit speak to the church today? Through the book. Brethren, you need to get this, because when individuals get away from the Bible, God's eternal truths, they're going to come up with all kinds of stuff. And here's the result of it right here. This is what happened when you lay aside the commandments of God. Jesus said in Mark 7:7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. He said, laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold to your own tradition. Now, all of this right here is a result of laying the Bible down. Now, with that in mind, brethren, all of the prophets, Old Testament, pointed to Christ and the cross and the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah said in Isaiah 2:2, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and is exalted above the hill. Watch this now. And it says, all nations shall flow into it. Look at that. What do you mean it? One. How in the world can all nations flow into it? The answer is, 1 Peter 2:5, it's a spiritual house. The church of Christ is a spiritual institution. Brethren, get physical out of your mind. Got it? think spiritually. It's a spiritual institution, and we worship God in the Spirit. Listen to me, brethren, but you have to be in Christ or in the Church of Christ. When you say in Christ and in the Church of Christ, you're saying the same thing. Amen. Somebody said, I was born in Woodbury, Tennessee, but I wasn't born in Cannon County. Something wrong with that, isn't it? Is something wrong with that? It's really something wrong with that. Somebody said, I was born again, but I'm not a member of the Church of Christ. Silly. If you're born again, you enter the church. You enter the kingdom. The Lord adds you to it. Good? Now, stay with me now. What we have here in Acts 8 and 1 through 14, we find that the church was scattered abroad. Are you listening to me? And the Bible said, then Philip, Acts 8 and verse 5, are you still with me? I'm reading from that. Acts 8 and verse 5. Said, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Preached Christ. What did he preach? He preached who? Preached who? He preached the Church of Christ? No, he preached Christ. Brethren, you got to preach Christ. Acts 8 and verse 12. Listen, when they believed Philip, preaching the thing concerning the kingdom, that's the church, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Faith, repentance, and confession in the Christ, baptism in the Christ for the remission of sin. Now you're a member of the body of Christ. Now, brethren, that hadn't changed. Everybody that's born again end up in the same church. Now, I have some graphics of a church building, but the church is a spiritual institution and it's in Christ. You understand that? Now, wait a minute. Somebody said, you know, the church burnt down. It was on the corner over there. Well, churches don't burn. The church of our Lord can't burn down. It's a spiritual institution and it's in Christ. And there's a building. You got it? Okay. Now, we call this the church, but actually, this is an auditorium where the church meet. Is that right? Oh, come on. Anybody, is it that bad? Come on. Okay. Now, good? Now, so now, we're members of the body of Christ. Now, Paul said that it was going to be a departure from the faith. Apparently, it was happening in his day because he summoned the elders of Ephesus. And he said, I know after my departure that grievous wolves would in the end not sparing the flock, even from among your own self. Brethren, when the church first got off, guess where it was? It was in leadership. What'd you say? It was leadership. Wait a minute. Let me show you something. Are you still with me? The church of our Lord, in the universal sense, Christ is the head of the church universally. There is no, listen, thing, the local congregation is the largest that we can have on earth. What do you mean by that? We don't have, in churches of Christ, we don't have no earthly headquarters. Our headquarters is where our head is. Well, where is our head? It's in heaven. All of the direction came from the headquarters. The Holy Spirit brought the direction. You got it? There aren't any more messages coming from heaven. Now, it's in this book. Are you listening to me now? Now, you have the local congregation. Local. Let me do this. Brothers, stay with me now. And the church. The church is, first of all, it's universal. That's worldwide. Everybody that obey the gospel, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, they're added to the church of Christ universally. Got it? Now, the church of our Lord is not set up like the Roman Catholic Church. Not set up like that. See, in the Roman Catholic Church, you got, listen to me, you have a hierarchy. You have the Pope, the Papa. He's over all of the churches. Universal Pope. Under the Pope, you got the 70 cardinals. Cardinals. You got it? Now, let's stop a moment. Where do you read about Pope and cardinals in this? You see, there were five main churches years ago. It was the church at Jerusalem, church at Antioch, church at Alexandria, and the church at Constantinople, and church at Rome. Guess what happened? They had one bishop over all those churches. That's unscriptural. God ordained the local church to have, when it's fully scripture organized, evangelists, elders, deacons, members. No higher. No eldership is over another congregation. No one man pastor. Pastor, bishop, elders, presbytery, all of that has a reference to the same group of men in the local church. That's where God set it up. Now watch this, brother. See, this is the way the Catholic Church is set up, like that. So if you throw a rock in their doctrine, or the doctrine get corrupt, the whole thing is corrupt. But the Lord's Church is set up like this. Look at this. So you throw a rock, you hit this window here and break it out, but it doesn't affect these. But when you throw it like this, the whole thing cracks. That's the way God set it up. That boy see it. You see it, don't you? And brethren, it's good to support your local church, your local congregation. Amen. So now, but if this church gets off, start teaching false doctrine, watch it. It's not going to affect this church. But up here, when the Pope teaches false doctrine, everybody's messed up. See that? That's the way God set it up. All right? Oh, boy. Are y'all going to be all right tonight? Stay with me now. So now, people are members of the body of Christ, and it started off with elders in every church, Acts 14:23, I believe it is. Paul told Timothy, Titus 1:5, to set in order and ordain elders in every church, every city. You see what I mean? Elders, deacons, elders, pastors, overseer, shepherd. That's talking about the same group of men. Now, 1 Timothy 3, listen to me carefully. A woman doesn't qualify to be a bishop or pastor or an elder in the local church. Wait a minute. See, brother, a lot of members, if you don't study this and don't teach this, they won't know, because they watch television and YouTube and the internet, and they got in these denominational churches. Let me show you some of you. The Lutheran, Presbyterian, listen, yes, they got women bishops. Who ever heard of that? Now watch this. Just use your head a minute. One of the qualifications for a bishop or elder is to be the husband of one wife. Why in the world a woman going to be an elder? They can't be. Somebody said, y'all people in Church of Christ, y'all are just male chauvinists. What? Male chauvinists? Where do you get that from? Y'all don't want the women to do anything. Wait a minute. It's a lot of work in the church for women. And thank God for the sisters. Thank God for the sisters. I remember a preacher named R.E.N. Hogan that used to make a statement like this. He said, if all the sisters in the Church of Christ would leave, my final message to the church would be, I would not have you ignorant brethren. It's gonna catch on in a moment. Thank God for the sisters in the Church of the Christ. Amen. And you know, there were some outstanding sisters that the Holy Spirit recorded in Romans chapter 16. Phoebe, our sister. Phoebe was outstanding. And she helped Paul, and Paul said, whatever business she need, you brethren, help her. Boy, that's good. Now, so we have no woman cannot teach a usurp authority over the man. Now, God set that in order. God set that up. All right now. Well, I'm trying to cover a lot tonight, but I'm going to be all right. Now, you're in the church now. Now, in the church, there's only one way to worship God. God tells us how he wants to be worshiped. We cannot worship God the way we want to worship. And we, brethren, listen to me. When in the book of Deuteronomy 6, I believe it is, God said to the children of Israel, when you go in the land, don't even ask, can you worship me the way they worship? God says, no. They could not worship God the way the heathens carried out their foolishness. And brethren, in the churches of Christ, we better be very careful, because some of these birds in the churches of Christ, some elders and deacons and some of the members and some of these jellyback preachers, they let all kinds of stuff in because of lucre money. And some individuals, all they want is nickels and noses. What is that? Nickels and noses. That's money and members. Nickels and noses. That's what they count. Nickels and noses. See? Brother, we got to realize, Garland, this is not your church. This is not the elder church. This church belongs to Christ. And Christ is the head of the body. He's the head and he's a lawgiver. Amen, somebody. That good? Now, we have to worship God on every first day of the week, brethren. I don't have the right to tell you can't worship. We don't worship on the first day of the week. What are you talking about? I can't do that. Some brothers say, well, Brother Shannon, I'm not going to be able to make you worship, man. Excuse me. I can't excuse you. I can't excuse you. Who am I? On the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. They did it every week. I can't tell my wife, you don't have to go to that. What? Oh, no. Wait a minute. Any military folks in here? Jimmy, you was, it's been a long time ago. There's some more military folks in here. Some more in here. How many of y'all just decide, you don't have to go to Revelate this morning? Go to the first sergeant of the CO and say, well, I don't have to go to Revelate. Oh, yeah? You're going to make Revelate. Listen, God, if you're out there with your clothes half on, you're going to be in formation at Reveille. You're going to be there. Now, we had to do that. What about the church? Hey, man. Yeah. Let me go on here, man. Departure from the faith. Look at this. We have the certainty of departure. Paul says that. That's verse 1 there to B. Then we have the cause for apostasy. I said departure, but apostasy. And then we have, that's 1C to 5. That's the cause. And then we have the, can you see this? The cure for apostasy. Is there a cure? Yes, it is. Well, I'll tell you, because I may not be able to get to it. Here's what you have to do. Keep your aim attention on the scriptures. Look at this. The cure for apostasy. What is apostasy, brother? That's when you leave the faith. To keep from leaving the faith, to departing from the faith, keep your attention on the scriptures. Let's turn over and look at it first. Let's look at verse 6 and through 8. Let's look at it. Got it? If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ and nourished up in the word of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Look at this now. Verse number 7. But refuse profane and old wise fables and exhort, my Bible is messed up, thyself are ready unto godliness. For body exercise proper for little, but godliness is proper unto all things, having promise of life that now is and that which is to come. brethren, please listen to this. Got to teach people the truth constantly. Somebody said, well, the church, they already know this. They people forget. Peter said in 1 Peter there, he says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle or this body, I'm going to stir up your remembrance. Even though you know it, brother, you have to do it over and over and over and over and over. Somebody said, I get tired of hearing the same old gospel over and over and over. But you don't get tired of getting the same 20s and 30s and 20s and 50s and 100s on your job. It's the same money. Isn't it the same? You go to work and work for 20 years. It's the same money. But all of a sudden in the church, you've been in the church 20 years, I'm sick of this same old gospel. What? What's wrong with you? It's the only power to save. The gospel is God's power to, on the salvation to all that believe. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? Now, keep your aim on the Savior and also keep your audience in school. I don't need to put that address in here. Because this is the cure. All right, let's go to our text. Now, certainty of apostles. We have the messenger. Who is the messenger? Now, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. Now, what's his manner? Speaketh expressly. The moment that in the latter times, the multitude, some shall depart. Now watch the message from the faith. You know, it's getting harder and harder. Brethren, I want you to listen to this. You elders, you preachers, deacons, Bible school teachers, all you fine Christians. You know, we're just one generation from departure. I tell you what you do. Just don't teach the next generation and see what happened to this church. Just failed. Well, we're not going to do any teaching. I'll tell you what you do sometimes. You know, somebody says, well, you don't, nobody need to go to church that much. That's too much, Bible. Too much, that's too much. I'll tell you what you do. Stay at home for 1 year and don't go to services and see how weak you get. You'll get so weak, you'll get used to, well, I don't think I even need to go to services. That's what happens when you keep missing, and don't have good teaching. Gospel meeting, good Bible classes, that's designed to help us to be strong to overcome the world. All right? Now, let's go a little further here now. Now, the certainty of apostasy. Now, we have the cause. Devotional problem. Giving heed. Deceptive problem. To seducing spirits. Doctrinal problem. And doctrine of devil. You know, in America, when people are ignorant of Scripture and ignorant of the doctrine of Christ, they'll fall for any of this stuff. Look here, the Roman Catholic Church, where did that come from? 325, 19. I grew up as a young boy, 16 to 32. I was in the Roman Catholic Church and I was a bishop, was a altar boy for the bishop. And all that stuff. I know the doctrine very well. I know all that rituals and stuff they go through with. All of that foolishness. And one of the doctrines they have is substantiation, which means that the unleavened bread and the fruit of brine, it literally turned into the body and blood of Jesus. That's what they teach. Now here's something I came up with. Now watch this now. If that's true, Garland, if that's true, why do you have so many alcoholics in the Catholic Church as priests? Turn to the body and blood of Jesus, literally. Why do you got so many alcoholics? And I was a boy working with the bishop of the diocese there in Memphis. I was a grown man working with the bishop there. Mr. Carol T. Dozier, he dead now. And set up the wine and everything. They had real wine now. They had real, real wine. And they kept it in the refrigerator. And I had to get it ready for the bishop when he did the mass. And I said, you know what? Back then, they wouldn't give you any of the wine. They just give you the loaf. They say, if you got the body, you know, your blood is in the body. That stuff like that. And I said, you know what? I've been seeing this guy drink this wine for years, and I never tasted it. I said, but before he come in, I'm going to taste it today. And boy, was it good. Good and cold. Boy, if they had to find out I did that, they just don't tell them what they done to me. They may have excommunicated me. Well, that's a little excursion. Let me get back to the main thing. The Roman Catholic Church, corrupt, corrupt. Brethren, listen to me. One of the most diabolical and corrupt religious organization in the world is the Roman Catholic Church. Of course, in 1054, the Western and the Eastern Church, they split. The main church was in Rome and Constantinople, where the other one was. Got it? And you know it's not Constantinople now. You know why? Because the Arabs came in and conquered it, and now they call it Istanbul. What you say, Brother Shannon? How do you know that? Brother, you can look at the internet and find that out. Istanbul, not Constantinople no more. You see that? Now they got their own bishop and head, just all divided. The seed of the kingdom, which is the word of God, will make none of this. The one system of faith will not make a Roman Catholic. The one system of faith will not make Lutherans. Lutheran, he said, I think he was from Russia there or Germany somewhere. He said, now, you follow me, don't call yourself Lutherans. Call yourself Christians. Guess what they did? They called themselves Lutherans. Presbyterians. Disciplines. Seventh-day Adventists. Jehovah's Witnesses. Creeds. Christian Science. Methodists. Catechism. Manuals. What is all that for? Most people don't even know this. The people who are in denominations, they don't have a clue of where it came from. Oh boy, this is a hard night tonight. So we have doctrine of devils. Now, this catechism will not make a Lutheran. The Lutheran book won't make a Catholic. The Presbyterian creed book, it won't make a Catholic. Look at this. A Methodist discipline won't make a Baptist. Listen to that. Are you listening? The gospel of Christ will not make either one of these. The gospel of Christ makes Christians in one church. That's it. Amen. Now, let's go a little further here. Doctrine of devils. A description of these people. Watch it. Speaking lies. Can you read? He don't know anything about Jim Jones, the guy. Anybody ever heard of Jim Jones? Oh, yeah. No, just listen to this, man. Look at this. Kool-Aid. That's right, Kool-Aid. How in the world did this man, see, people are gullible. They'll believe anything. Went down there and he was just a host. And they're everywhere. Now, can I tell you something? This may hurt. But Jim Jones is no worse than the Catholics. The enemies of the denomination. Why? They're leading folk to hell. These people are not going to heaven standing in that. Some of my brethren in the Church of Christ, they believe that's all right. Brethren, that's not all right. Amen, somebody. They look here. Bad message, bad mouth. They speak lies. They'll tell you anything for money. I know some Baptist preachers, black and white, who are excellent speakers, excellent orators. I can just name them. Billy Graham was an excellent speaker. Excellent. He could move people. Adrian Rogers was in Memphis there. Excellent student of the Bible. But they will preach and talk about Jesus, and they will deny what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. When the question was asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. They deny that's true. Billy Graham and his old boy, he got an old boy. What is that old boy's name? Franklin. Right? Following his foot. You know what it's all about? It's money. That's all they care about is money. They're religious racketeers. And some of you listen, watching me, and I hope that you take it. Check them out. Check. Examine them. Now the Bible tells us, I think in Peter 4, try the Spirit. How you gonna try the Spirit? Now when John wrote this to the church, they had a way to try the Spirit, and they didn't have the Bible. They had miraculous powers, watch it, that the Holy Spirit in them could help them to discern what's false and what not. Now, we don't have no direct operation of the Holy Spirit on us. If you're going to try the Spirit today, you're going to have to open the book. Paul said, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. How do you know when people are teaching wrong? Wait a minute. How do you know? Well, he just sound like it don't sound nothing. You got to know the Bible. You got to know the Bible. All right, now, pretty good. Speaking lies, bad manners, and hypocrisy. They are hypocrites. All they want is money. All right? Bad minds. Well, what do you mean? Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Don't nothing bother them. They'll tell you, I'm telling you, they'll tell you anything. I'll tell you what to do. If you don't believe me, just try this. You know some Methodists and Baptist preachers, Presbyterian, you know a lot of, even the First Christian Church. Brother, let me say this. The First Christian Church is not a part of the Church of Christ. Listen to me. The First Christian Church is not part of the Church of Christ at all. I was in Detroit, Texas one time back in 1989 preaching. And the brother, somebody told the brother down there, as long as they've been baptized for the remission of sin, they members of the Church of Christ. I said, I don't believe no such thing at all. All right, but Brother Ford, you got your Bible with you? I said, I don't believe no such a thing at all. And you talking about a wild boy. I was wild then. Back in 1989, man. Now watch this now. They had a guy up leading song service and teaching Bible class. He was a member of the First Christian Church, and he said he was baptized for the remission of sin. I said, that's not right. I said, Roman Catholic teach baptism for the remission of sin, but they don't do it right. Why they baptize babies? What in the world are you baptizing a baby for? Baptism is for individuals who believe, who repent, and who will confess. What can a baby believe? What sin can he repent of? The baby don't have any sins. The very definition of sin knocks out the baby. Sin is a transgression of the law. 1 John 3:4. Now what law has the baby broken? See how silly they are? Brethren, listen to me. Let that baby cry. Don't take it out. Let that baby cry. These folk need to wake up anyway. That's surgery. Let that baby stay there. Let that baby. That's a picture. Make it a little louder. Amen. Amen. She got the attention, the garland. I can't get it, but she got the attention there. Oh boy, that's good. I'll tell you what, I need to take a picture with that baby there. And when I get real, real old, I said, girl, I remember you hollering doing one of my sermons. Now watch this now. Now, the Catholic teach, but I want you to just listen to this. They teach that we are born hereditary total depravity, born original sin. See that? That's what they teach. Now watch this now. So actually what they believe is this. They believe that a baby that's born have sin on the soul. Well, if the baby dies, where will he go? Oh, purgatory, huh? Where did purgatory come from? Now, let me tell you something about babies. I love babies. Boy, I love to hear babies crying. When you don't hear the babies crying, something is going on. Something's getting ready to happen. Amen. Now, are you listening? Babies born in original sin, right? Where'd that come from? That Bible doesn't teach that. Okay, now watch this now. They're all against abortion. I am too. You got it? They got to get all of them. You know, then they teach the doctrine, say, now all babies that's born in the world, and if you abort them, when they die, they'll be lost because they got Adam's sin on them. See how silly that is? That is not true at all. But you won't know that if you don't know the apostle doctrine. You think you're born in sin. Nobody's born in sin. Nobody. We don't receive. Sin is not transmitted. Sin is committed. Had me believing that stuff in the Catholic Church. Had my little old boy baptized in the Catholic Church. He hollering and spitting and crying. Trying to tell us something. Baptizing a baby for what? That's silly. That's heathenism. Now, that's good, isn't it? Now, baby not have no sin. Baby born pure and holy. 18th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Amen, somebody. Is that all right? Bad minds having their conscience sealed with a hot iron. Now, his demand to practice forbidding to marry. Well, what is that? No marriage that's forced celibacy. You don't have to marry. Paul said it's better marriage than burn. But he said, I wish all men could be like me, but all but I can't. It's better to marry than to burn. But the Catholics force the priests and nun, you cannot marry for a celibate. You can't do that. That's a violation. I was in Columbus, Ohio in a meeting years ago, Garland, and with Mark Bass. You know Mark Bass. And they had a Catholic boy, they're coming around. He was about 25, 30 years old. And they didn't know how to teach him. They didn't know what they were doing. I saw they didn't know what they were doing. So I told him, I said, leave the boy alone. I said, I'm the holding the meeting. I said, now after the meeting, every night I'll teach you. I'll have a class with you. He couldn't make it to the meeting because he worked. I said, you and your girlfriend come over here. And I said, I'll teach you. Did it. Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And so I took the Catholic Bible. I said, now bring your Catholic Bible with you. I didn't use King James, I used Catholic Bible. And you know what I did? I said, I took the First Timothy. All scriptures given. It's rightly divided. Got it? Then I took the First Timothy 3 in verse number 1 to about 8. And I said, I want you to read that. It says that a bishop must be the husband of one wife and children. I said, read it. He said, wait a minute. He said, that's not right. I said, yes, you're reading out of your Bible, man. I'm not tricking you. Read it. He said, a bishop's supposed to be married and have children, husband of one wife and have children. Yeah. I said, they may have children, but they don't have a wife. Did you get that? Where do you think in these convents, down in the basement, in the convents, you got these little bitty graves? You dig them up, you got little bones of a little baby. Where'd they come from? Can we tell you where they came from? The good old priests and bishops fraternizing with the nuns, they had the babies, and they aborted them. You see that? Now you're going to tell me that you are talking about, man, I'm trying to tell you, they got a bad message and a bad mouth, bad manners, and they got bad minds. Well, what happened, Brother Shannon? I took the Roman Catholic Bible, and he found out what to do to be saved. in the Roman, with the Roman Catholic Bible. And he begged me. I said, no, this, no, I want you to baptize. I baptized him into Christ. Baptized him into Christ at night, after the meeting was over, after 4 days, 4 hours of study, and, called his mother. She said, no, that can't be true. My boy had no obey the gospel. She was a member. Cause he said, I would never leave the Catholic Church cause my grandmother said it. I said, well, you don't have to leave. But I taught him out of the Catholic Bible. And you know what? It was so nice to him. He wanted me to baptize him. And when it was all out, he took me and bought me a nice big steak. I said, boy, look at this. And I couldn't hardly get rid of him. He obeyed the gospel. See, that's the power of the gospel. Brethren, we have to take our time and teach people. Teach them. All right, let's go a little further here now. Amen. Now, marriage, no marriage, forbidden to marry. Now, maybe we ought to practice this in churches of Christ. Well, we ought to demand them to get married because Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, Paul said, I will therefore that the young women marry, have children. That's the order. Marry, have children. Look at what we're doing in America. And I'm hard on my black people at home. I'm hard on them. What, Brother Shannon? Why are you so hard on them? Because I'm around them more than white people. But when I come around some white people and they're doing that and having children out of, and not married, I'm hard on them too. And it's a common thing in America. Even Hollywood advertised that. You know, I had my baby, but I'm not married. That's sin. Brethren, is it sin? Paul said, I will that the young women marry, have children. Not only marry, have. So look what you got. You got a partner. You got a new partner. Have children, new parents. Got the house, new position. Did you get that? New partner, new parents, new position. You know, a lot of these guys treat the women like this. They love their dog more than love their wife, the girl. They'll get 5 or 6 babies by the girl and never get a license. And the state will tell them, you got to get a license for your dog. They'll go down and get the license for the dog, but they won't get no license to marry the woman. You see what he think about you? Listen here. Make him husband before father. I don't think they got that. Do I need to say it again? Make that rascal husband before father. Because if you do it the opposite, you're going to be hung out with the children the rest of your life. You got it? All right, let's go now. Let's go a little further here now. And while we're on this, I don't know where this idea came up of talking about same-sex marriage. And watch this. Now, all of these birds over here talking about it's all right. Do we have any in the Church of Christ think it's all right for same-sex marriage? If you are, stand up and be counted. Anybody here like that? Believe in same-sex marriage? Well, that ain't nothing wrong with it. But Jimmy, I said the other day, Jimmy, well, I got a daughter that's pretty. She's 40 years old, about 40. Ought to make her and her husband separate, and I'll go marry my daughter. What? That's gross. Just as gross as you marrying a man, too. Man to man, that's gross. I got a mother. I want to marry my mother. Oh, that's gross. Well, see how silly that is? That's how silly it is when two women talk about marriage. Brethren, let me tell you something. That stuff is all in the White House. All on television, and our children are looking at this filth and corrupting their minds. And the school system is all messed up. Brethren, I don't know what's going to come to it. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Black people are white. And this country is going down the drain in filth. From the White House all the way to the Cotton House. They're just bang, bang, bang. God's going to get sick of this stuff. And he got sick of Sodom and Gomorrah. It stinks to him. and he burned it. If America don't wake up, brethren, listen, America won't talk about in God we trust. Oh, really? In God we trust, and in our courtroom and on our money, in God we trust, and we have passed laws to abort babies? What? What in the world is going on? And then, brethren, look at me like they're half crazy. What's wrong with that black preacher up there? He just screaming, holler too loud. What's wrong with it? Ain't nothing wrong with me. It's something wrong with you if you think they're all right. Summertime and the fish are jumping. See that? Now, brethren, what I'm saying is, now, these young people don't know, you know, how it was 40, 50, 60 years ago. See, they don't know. We didn't hear nothing like that. Let me tell you something. Let me pause a moment. I remember coming up as a kid, we had a chance to have a TV. It wasn't no color TV. It was black and white. Black and white. But we loved it. We never heard one curse word on television. Not one. I see stuff on TV. I told my wife, turn that television off. The women are naked. They show them everything. They show it. All kinds of stuff. So what in the world is going on? Two black men were kissing on TV. I said, what is going on? What is really happening? And we're talking about a pandemic? Pandemic, nothing. You better look at this sin. God will burn our hives if we don't change. And somebody needs to pray. Is this going all over? I hope it is. We need to wake up in America. Oh, boy. And brethren, what's wrong with the world is what's wrong with the church. They legalizing marijuana. That's doing everything, Craig. Just everybody do what they want to do. If it feels good, do it. Judges 17:6, when there was no king in Israel, every man did every right in his own eyes. If it feels good, do it, right? Just do anything, right? It's going to catch up with us. But brethren, you know how they put the R.J. Reynolds out of business, members of the church, and Falstaff and Budweiser and all, nobody beer. Nobody junk. I pass a liquor store all the time from about a mile, half a mile, something from the church. I said, they'll go out of business. They'll be going out of business because I'm not buying. I'm not going to protest, just don't buy. And the gambling, you can't even go to a convenience store. The lottery, whoopee-doo. Just gambling, just teaching our kids all kinds of crazy stuff. Brethren, it may sound a little comical, but it's getting worse and worse and worse. Every 10 years, it's getting worse and worse. Now, I'm going to tell you what the next move is going to be. Well, Brother Santa, are you a prognosticator? No. The next thing is, Brother George, when you get 70 years old, they may be setting up a way to just get you on out of the way. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? When you get a certain age in America, they're going to have it fixed where, well, they done got too old, let's get them out of the way, let's give them something, get them out of here. They've been around too long. What do you call that when you get rid of old folks? You know the word? Euthanasia. That's wrong. That's what they feel. That's the way these birds feel everywhere, these folks in America, they feel like that towards old people. My mama, 97 years old. I wish somebody talking about getting rid of my mother. 97 years old. So, well, she's been here too long. Oh, yeah? Well, I don't know how I got on that, but they're here. No marriage. Forbidden to marry. And Lot, let me do this. See, the courtroom say you can marry and divorce and remarry for any reason. That ain't what the gospel said. Gospel didn't say that. And a lot of my brothers got mixed up in all that foolishness because their kin folks or somebody in their family all messed up in marriage. You can mess up in marriage. A lot of people in the Church of Christ will go to hell because they all messed up in marriage. Somebody said, well, it don't make no difference. Well, if it doesn't make any difference, what is the Bible for? What is it for?
Let's throw the Bible away. And these court systems, they got up there and listen, put your hand on the Bible. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Got your hand on the Bible. And then let you divorce. Or let you abort your kids. Look at that. What is that? They don't trust no Bible. They don't believe in no Bible. If they did, they wouldn't do what they're doing. They're selling us out. The ones in Washington, they're selling us out. All right. No meat and commanded to abstain from meats which God have created, watch it, to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. Look at this. Look at here. Hey, there's no meat. You don't have to eat meat. You can't eat meat. Under the law of Moses, there was a positive law. Listen to me, brother. A positive law for the Jewish people. Leviticus chapter 11. They couldn't eat pork. They couldn't eat a catfish. You, anybody like catfish here? Well, you wouldn't have made it under the Jewish law, because God put the stop sign at the pork place and the catfish place. No pork chop. Brother Ford, I don't know whether you eat chitlins or not, but if you starved to death for it, you couldn't eat none of that. You could not, no pork chop. Country ham, sausage, and couldn't do that under the law of both. These were positive commands, not moral commands, positive commands for one people, Jew. And matter of fact, in my study, I can see that God did that to keep them from the other people, wanted them to be a separate people. Are you following me? Now, but look at this now. The Muslims, watch this. The Jews, the Muslims, Seventh-day Adventists, they say, can't eat no pig. Well, is it wrong? Is it sinful to eat pork? That's the question I ask. If it's sinful, show it to me. They go back to Leviticus chapter 11 and talk about these are the unclean animals you can't eat. Okay? I said, now what are we going to do with this right here? It must be a contradiction. He says, forbidden to marry and abstain from meats of which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. Watch this here. Divine proclamation. Watch what he says. For every creature of God is G-O-O-D. Good. And nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Watch this. Amen. Sanctified by God, sanctioned by gratitude, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I think it's time for me to quit. Brother, please listen. I could preach this whole lesson here for 2 weeks. I'm trying to do it here in 45 minutes. If you're here and you're a Roman Catholic, if you're listening, watching YouTube or whatever, why are you a Roman Catholic? Where, listen to me, where did you learn about the Roman Catholic Church? All right, now watch this now. If I ask you, I want you to write a paper on the Roman Catholic Church, could you use the scriptures only? Watch it. Lutheran, Presbyterian, Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, Christian Science, Methodist, Baptist, and then Pentecostal end up. If I ask you, audience, anyone that's listening, write a paper on these and just use the Bible only, can you do it? I was in Mississippi one time about 20 years ago, and this black fellow was very sharp academically. He had written 7 books, ISBM, you know what I mean? It's in Washington. And I asked him, he's a member of the Methodist Church. And nobody can, he had members of the Church of Christ. They, He couldn't handle it. I said, well, I'll handle it. I talked to him. I asked him, I said, I want you to take the Bible, God's word. You believe it, he's here. I want you to write me a 15-page, double-spaced type on the Methodist Church. I want you to do that. Sitting in his house. You know what his remarks was? I can't do it. He says impossible me do it. You know what the next thing he said? I need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sin. If you're honest, if you're not honest, you won't do that. If you're not honest, because you don't want to turn against your kin people. But it's the doctrine. All of this, this is doctrine of devils. All of it. Satan has false apostles. He's got he's a fallen angel, and he got faithful agents. All of these are agents for the devil. Now, see, by me saying that, and you haven't done the research, don't believe me. Check it out. Since this is the standard of authority, tell me why you can't find, if they're all right, why you can't find them in the gospel. This is just plain everyday teaching. You see that? You see that? Now, we got family people. We are divided in our home. I'm telling you, we will fight at the supper table on a certain day or picnic. You'll have a family fight if you bring up this. Why is that we all can't speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent? Brethren, that's a hard thing to do because it is Satan, the devil's intent is to keep us divided. I'll talk long enough. It may be that's one here tonight who haven't obeyed the doctrine. Paul said in Romans 6:17, and God be thanks that ye were the servants in, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you become servants of righteousness. You see that? Faith in Jesus that he is the only begotten Son. He died on the cross of Calvary, shedded his blood. He purchased one church. He took his blood and he dedicated the New Testament, Hebrews 9:14 and following. You got it? So we got the body, the blood, and the book. Faith in Jesus. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ as the Son of God. Be immersed in water for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And live a godly and faithful life. And God, until God call you home. If that's your decision, do it right now, son leader, as we together stand and sing.